The Dental Practice Fixers podcast is brought to you by the Maddow Center for Dental Practice Success. To find out how we can help increase the success of your practice, check out maddow.com or call us at 1-800-258-0060.
So you're pretty good at presenting treatment plans, but by the time you turn it over to your office manager, she's not only a little bit uncomfortable, but she doesn't want to talk fees because she thinks your fees are too high. We're going to talk about this. Episode 14, the Dental Practice Fixers. Welcome, 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 Dr. David Maddow, along with
Dr. Richard Maddow. Thanks so much, everybody, for being here. We love the nice comments we get on the podcast, so please keep reviewing us on iTunes, sending us great emails, even if you want to critique us and tell us you don't like the podcast because of this particular reason.
Don't do that.
We'd love to hear that, too.
Richard, don't do that. By the way, real quick, a coffee clink that we're here live to, in the studio.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Coffee clink.
You know how important this mug is, too. I mean, I feel like it's got a little ceramic chip now.
Oh, but God, that's okay. Sorry about that.
This was a present from Dr. David Moffat all the way from Australia. Using it quite a bit in the office ever since. Thank you, Dr. Moffat, if you're watching. If you're not, you should be. Okay, and speaking of that, we love your questions for the podcast, so please, please, please keep sending them like Dr. Eddie M. did from New Jersey today. Dr. Eddie M., here's his question. It says, dental practice fixers. Up until now, I've been presenting all of the treatment, including fees. My acceptance percentage is pretty good, but not great.
Pretty good.
How's your acceptance percentage?
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Can you quantify that?
Pretty good. Everyone loves my office manager, and I thought she could do this very well. So I talked to her about getting more involved. She told me she was not comfortable with presenting fees because she thinks my fees are way too high. What should I do? Dr. Eddie M. in New Jersey. Well, the first question you always ask somebody from New Jersey is, what exit?
107. There's
perfect.
No
107. No, maybe on the Garden State Parkway, not on the Jersey Turnpike. Okay, Dr. Eddie M. from New Jersey. Well, he's pretty good at presenting treatment. Acceptance percentage has not been fantastic. He thought maybe his office manager could have better rapport with the patients. So he says, hey, let's call her Madge. That's our generic. Madge.
That's a good one.
I'd love you to get more involved. You probably agree with this too, that maybe for complex cases it's one thing, but it's not always the best use of the dentist's time to be talking about routine treatment. And a really talented office manager, treatment coordinator should be able to do a great job with that. Agree? Maybe not. Okay.
No,
anyway.
No, seriously. I did that just to throw you off a little bit, but it didn't work. totally agree. The dentist, I think, should be discussing treatment only to an extent. And then you got to have a professional that totally understands everything and can explain it to the patient in very simple terms along with financial.
Financial. I always felt like, unless the case was really complex, I didn't want to be involved with the fees.
I would enjoy telling
a patient about their periodontal disease. That's weird, enjoy telling someone about their disease. But, it was great to help them get through this issue, tell them about a crown, what it is, why they need it, how we do it, all those things. But then when it came to money, not that it's like a dirty, filthy topic, but I just thought that was better handled by a talented team member.
Absolutely.
Kind of say, hey, let me concentrate on the dentistry, mm-hmm. and Carol can talk to you about the finances.
I don't think the dentist should be involved in the financial part at all, because then what happens if the patient starts questioning and asking about insurance? That's not the best use of the dentist's time
agree.
At all. Nothing to do with financial at all.
Can we go a little lower, Doc? Okay, so anyway, so this dentist, it seems like maybe they were a little behind the curve on that, but now wanted to take the step.
Right. Exactly.
And good job, Dr. Eddie. And then Madge says she thinks his fees are way too high.
Don't bang too much because it
shakes. Oh, sorry, the whole podcast.
You bang like that, it shakes.
He's always got to tell me what to do here. The older brother, always telling the little brother what to do. I'm 60 years old, damn it.
I thought we took care of that banging thing in another episode. I could have sworn we did.
I don't want to work. I just want to bang on the table all day.
I get it. Well, I think we've got a much deeper problem than somebody, than office manager not being able to talk about treatment plans and financial with patients because she thinks the fees are too high. It goes deeper than that, because if there's somebody
working at the front, especially an office manager, first of all, I'm assuming she's got people that are working under her who she's talking to. But not only that, every time a phone call comes in and they ask a question about some type of treatment, and she, in her mind, in her heart, she believes that this office is way too expensive. It's a major problem.
I agree. Major. It's a huge problem. And let's face it, we know that dentists in general, although we have seen exceptions, earn more money than their team. I mean, that's the hierarchy of earning in a dental practice. And, you know, let's say that you're a dental office manager, you're making a great salary, you might have a mortgage and some debt and all kinds of things. Your spending is very, you've got to be really careful with what you spend. Mm-hmm. And then you hear that a crown is, somebody's treatment can be thousands of dollars, and you think to yourself, wow, I'm glad that I'm not faced with that situation, because I don't know how I could come up with $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 right now. It would be a struggle for me. And we totally get that. And it's important to know that. But I think the office manager has to be comfortable that, excellent quality health care does have a cost. This cost is fair, it's reasonable, and she's being paid her paycheck because of these fees, and we've got to think that the patient's getting a really good value, and that's the main thing. If you don't believe the patient's getting a good value, it's going to be tough for you not only to present, but to collect.
Well, it's interesting what you just said, and I'm wondering, there are like two levels. Does this office, and we don't know the answer to this because this question was just written into you, but does the office manager think that dentistry itself is very expensive? In other words, no matter where you go, if you're going to get dentistry, it's going to be expensive and it's not worth it. Or does she think that this office's fees are way above what they should be?
Great question. Let's say B.
B. That's the way I took it.
Let's say she, I wasn't sure, but I'm glad you brought that up.
I took it that way.
Okay, let's say that she feels this particular office is overpriced, so to speak.
And first of all, how does she know? And maybe, let's say she's called around, and let's just say this office is in the top 20% of fees in the area. Well, you know, that's fine as long as the quality of care is really good and the dentist cares and is doing really good work. She should be, as some old consultants used to say, we should be proud of our fees. But all kidding aside, you should be, because, like, let's say I needed some type of, not non-dental, some kind of, some kind of medical surgical procedure. I want to go to the person that is the best, even if the fees were higher than the other surgeons. Right. I want to go to that person that I thought was really going to help me. And same thing with the dentist.
Not everyone can afford that person. Let's face it.
Right. But
I just saw, I think it was a survey online, that 86% of dental practices are in the top 20 percentile when it comes to their fees.
Absolutely. And do you know that 50% of the dentists or actually 49% of dentists are below average? Do you know that?
Well, no way. Impossible.
I think it's true. I hate to say this to some dentists, but it's kind of true.
So look to your left, look to your right. If those dentists are above average. Okay. So let's get back to this question.
What do we do?
Let's just say that this practice is, well, one thing is, if they are in the tippity top of fees or top 20 or 10% or whatever, there better be a reason. So this practice should be providing really, really high quality dentistry, great patient care, you know, take their time with the patients, don't rush them in and out, a fee for service practice, all those things that would justify a fee that's on the higher end.
Yeah. Now it gets down to this office manager. If nothing can be done to make her really feel that she's working for a great dentist who does great work, who really cares about his patients, if that needs to be fixed. But if that can't be fixed, I got to tell you something. The dentist needs to move on and find somebody that really believes in his work. You cannot have an office manager that's second-guessing you, that doesn't believe in you, that thinks you're too expensive, that thinks you're ripping people off. You cannot have that.
Well, maybe it's up to the dentist to teach the office manager why their fees are what they are. And let's just say it's scenario A, where this person just thinks, in general, dentists are too expensive, which there certainly is
a ripple.
Right. And a lot of people think that. Maybe they shouldn't be working in a dental practice, but I think we should give them the opportunity to learn. And let's use the old analogy that everybody understands. If you're a car salesman and you're selling Kias versus selling BMWs, well, Kias are great cars, right? Very reliable. Mm-hmm. They last for a long time. They look great, all those things. But BMWs are more expensive for many reasons. I'm not a supercar guy, but I would imagine they drive incredibly well, and they're all those things. If you're the BMW salesman, you've got to believe that cost for the BMW is justified. You've got to believe that, yeah, maybe a Kia is a great car, but this car is worth every bit of that $65,000 MSRP, or else you're not going to be able to sell them. And it's the same in the dental practice.
Okay, so what does this doc do? He's got an office manager who does not believe in him, does not believe in his fees. What's 30-second version? How does he fix it? What does he do?
It's a very frank meeting. Hey, Madge, tell me why you think my fees are too high. Well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so let's find out the reason, first of all. Is it because she personally couldn't afford dentistry? Is it because she thinks all healthcare is still expensive? Or she thinks that Eddie's fees, Dr. Eddie's fees are too high? Then address it from that. And Dr. Eddie better be able to justify why his fees are what they are.
We're not so sure his fees are that high. We're not so sure. I just wonder if the office manager, Madge, goes to Dr. Eddie and her family goes to him as patients. I wonder if they do. If they do, that's a really good sign because they believe in his dentistry.
Or maybe he's giving them a huge discount.
Maybe, yeah, that's true too. So I think bottom line is that Dr. Eddie has to get Madge to believe in him. There's no two ways about it. If she does not believe in him and his fees, and look, maybe they've got a beautiful office, and let's face it, it's a business. You have to charge. If she does not believe in it, then he needs to move on and find somebody that does, because there are plenty of people out there that will.
Here's something else, and exactly. I know we need to move on to the call of the week in a second. And again, this is a lot of maybes, because all we're basing on is this question that we've been set. Maybe Dr. Eddie is flaunting his wealth. You know, maybe he's pulling up in a different fancy car every day and all the fancy clothes and coming in with, you know, expensive accoutrements and $1,000 shoes. Who knows? I doubt it's the case, but you never know. And then I think maybe the practice manager would be suspicious that he's kind of charging so much and raking it in.
So that's a good point. We don't know if that's the case, but it's a good suggestion for all dentists. Don't even if you're very, very wealthy, which we hope you are, don't flaunt it. Don't flaunt. Just be a regular person. Yeah. You know?
Be a regular person, save well. Sure. You know, do the things that money can buy if you've earned it and you're comfortable and you're saving, and take a great vacation and drive a nice car, but don't be snobby about it or rub it in other people's faces.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to.
Be a real guy or gal.
Yeah. So I think we've helped.
Did we beat this dead horse?
I don't know. I think we have.
I hope we helped.
You want to get on to the call?
Before we get on to the call, let's just say that we hope that all of our listeners can have this meeting with their team and talk about why good health care is expensive and why it's a great investment and why if somebody who's struggling with their bills and is faced with a $2,500 dental treatment plan, you can show that person why it's worth it for them to spend that money instead of spending it on something else. So I think it's a really important conversation to have. We need to talk about the cost of things.
And so let's take it even one step a little bit deeper. If there's anything at all in your office that's like festering, this is a problem. It's a big problem. But the worst mistake Dr. Eddie could do is just let it go. That's like the worst thing possible. You've got to take care of any situation, any problem, and deal with it. Dealing with it here may be easy. It may not be easy. But you've got it. You just can't ignore it. You've got to do something about it.
I totally agree. My uncle's festering. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that, really.
Yep.
I didn't see that in the least.
Can you really quickly, just before we move to the call, that we talk to our folks about TBSE?
Let's do that.
TBSE stands for the best seminar ever. Something that we produce every fall in Las Vegas. We didn't name it the best seminar ever. And it's,
are you sure?
It's 25th year. I think we used to call it the Super Fall Seminar. Maybe in its fourth or fifth year, the attendees started suggesting that, hey, this is the best seminar ever. You should call it that. We kind of
let me tell you something.
Nice.
It still is. It still is. There's no question about it.
Incredible speakers, 2 days, everybody in the same room. You'll learn so much practice, growth, and motivational information. It's this November at the incredible Tropicana Resort Hotel in Vegas. So if you want to learn more, just go to TBSE.com. Stands for the best seminar ever.com. You'll see who the speakers will be this year, learn a little bit about the venue, see how inexpensive it is for the doctor and team to have a great educational vacation. I know a lot of people say edutainment, but I'm trying to think, is there a word to combine education and vacation? But they're kind of the same ending, so that might be tough. It's an edu-vacation. It starts to sound a little weird. They kid you.
I don't know. It's a great educational
anyway, vacation.
You'll have a great time.
And we're there, of course, hanging out with everybody.
Maybe we could plan to do like a live podcast or something from there.
It would be super cool. Like,
people in the background. Kind of like the Today Show. That would be hilarious. Okay. Asking, but asking live questions, maybe.
We're going to do
Let's try it.
I'm not sure when, but we're going to do it. TBSE.com. We'll see you in Vegas.
We hope to see you there. Real quickly, also, two things. So if Rich and I could send you a check for $50 every month or $100 or $500.
I'll take it.
Would you cash it? Would you take it? Well, we're probably not going to be able to do that. But we've got something that I think would be kind of similar. Changing your credit card processing company that you're using. We believe in Fat Merchant. We use Fat Merchant here. We've talked about Fat Merchant before. It's a really simple way. It's a really simple way to change. You just call it, go online and change. And I can't guarantee, because it depends on the volume you're doing. You know, some docs watching this are doing very low volume. Others are doing extremely high volume. But, you know, again, it's like us sending you a check, or it's like Fat Merchant sending you a check every single month, because you'd be saving on your credit card processing. Why wouldn't you do it? It's so simple to change. Go to bit.ly/fatmad. It's FATTMAD, all one word. I'll do it one more time. And if you're watching the video, which we hope you are, it's right below us. bit.ly/fatmad, FATTMAD. And also, while we've got your attention, we hope we still have your attention.
I think this call
is going to be great today. I know that. I know it. I feel it. But if you want to take your practice, if you're struggling and not sure, you reach this plateau and you're not sure, and you really want to improve your practice, you're not sure how to do it, we encourage you to attend one of our master classes. They're at the Matter Center for Dental Practice Success in Baltimore, Maryland. And most of them sell out, and we keep them very, very small. Go to masterclass.matto.com. You'll see our schedule, and we'd love to have you attend for a day. It's a great day of learning with me, with Rich, with our coaching team. It's something that you will really will help your practice and your life. We hope to see you there.
All right. So, call of the week. Let's just say that you're a patient looking for a new dental office. You know you need a couple crowns. You go on. You pick a dentist, you go on their website to do a little due diligence, you have a question about something you saw on your website, and you want to come in and find your new dentist to get a couple crowns done. How tough could that be, right?
Easy enough.
Let's find out.
Okay.
This is Amy.
Oh, hi, Amy. Are you seeing new patients now?
Yes, we are. Yes. Good.
I have a question for you. I was told maybe a few months ago I need a crown. So I was just Googling around. I came upon your website. I saw you had a little section about crowns and caps. And I was reading it. It said a crown can be made of either porcelain baked onto a metal substrate. I wasn't clear on what that meant. What does that mean? A metal baked onto a metal substrate.
Well, it's just a porcelain crown. That what they do, they build the crown up, and then they make it. It's kind of hard for me to explain. And then it's just porcelain. It's a porcelain crown, and if they have to put a resin or a filling on it first, and they have to build the crown up. That could mean what they're talking about, putting it on the metal. But it's basically just a porcelain crown. So you're going to have a temporary on prior to that.
So the whole crown is just made out of porcelain.
Right.
Okay,
yes.
I understand.
It's a porcelain crown, right.
I understand. And if right. I needed, let's just say, I think I need two crowns. I mean, you might find differently, but how long would that take to do two crowns, do you think, typically?
In one day, are they on the same side? Are they on the opposite sides, up one, upper or lower? That also depends if they're on the opposite sides of the mouth. We have to do two different appointments.
I'm pretty sure they're both on the right-hand side.
Right-hand side. Okay, each crown usually takes about an hour and a half, so you'll be here a little over 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. So each one takes an hour and a half,
for
so
that.
I'll be there
That's
2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Yeah, but he can usually, if they're right next to each other, he can usually, you know, he'll numb the whole area, then he can usually, you know, get that completed within probably getting them all prepped and ready with about a little over an hour. Then he has to make the temporaries, and those take about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So more efficient if they're right near each other.
Yeah, otherwise, if they're on the opposite sides of the mouth, or if one's upper, one's lower, we have to usually make two different appointments, because your whole area will be numb. You won't be able to eat on that side.
Gotcha. All right, well, hey, thanks so much for the information. I really appreciate it.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye.
Oh boy, another great one. I always like to start with a positive. You know, just like
what's the positive?
We both went to University of Maryland Dental School way back in the ancient days. Mm. Remember Dr. Tuis, the clinical instructor?
Yeah,
nicest guy in the world.
Yeah,
no matter what piece of crap you would present him with, he would always start with a compliment. It was such a good technique.
Yeah, Rich, I like your tie today.
That's exactly right.
The prep sucks.
If he had nothing good to say, he didn't have a Southern accent. But if he had nothing good to say about the work you were presenting, and it was preclinical, so you're known to ivory too. He would always do some kind of like, I like the tie you wear. It's so funny. So I'll just say she was nice and friendly.
Okay, not going to disagree.
Good attitude.
Won't disagree with that.
Friendly, was willing to take the time to explain, maybe incorrectly, but explain anything the person asks. So at least we'll give her a little bit of credit. You know, it's funny, as you remember on this call, they have the voice menu thing. If you're a new patient who wants to make an appointment, push one, you think, oh man, I'm going to get the killer on this thing.
So did you press one?
Yes.
You press one. You got the closer.
The closer's going to be able to appoint any new patient.
the call was crazy because she obviously was way in over her head. She didn't really even understand exactly what a crown was, let alone porcelain baked to a metal substrate.
Baked to a metal substrate. Okay, I'm going to talk about a pet peeve here. See this all the time. You go on a dentist website, they've got some pre-purchased canned bullshit to describe dental procedures, and that's fine. We don't expect you to have the time to write up every, you know, there are 100 procedures described on these websites. You don't have the time to do that. But they use this lingo that no potential patient could possibly understand. It's too scientific. I mean, why do they have to say on the website it's porcelain baked onto a metal substrate? Somebody that works in the dental office doesn't even know what that means.
I don't even know what that means.
Exactly.
Metal substrate. Sounds like biology class.
How do you expect potential patient know what that means? Say porcelain for looks, metal for strength. I don't know, whatever. Make it so anybody can understand it. Don't put this crap on your website that's way too technical. It just confuses people.
I don't even think we need to get that detailed at all. Somebody comes in for a crown, it can be explained then, but it's a covering, it's a protection for the tooth to make it stronger, something like that. But you don't need to know all this stuff.
The materials that are utilized, right? It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's beautiful porcelain that's going to match your other teeth.
Right, exactly.
Something like that.
I've seen websites that say, like, they can be made of Emax. Well, who knows what that is?
The public doesn't know or doesn't care.
Exactly. Unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
You can be made of Emax, Bruxier. I don't know what that is.
By the way, I passed a sign the other day. We were driving along. There was a dental office. They had a big, what do you call it? Like a sidewalk sign, kind of, you know, the kind you
like
take.
Like a sandwich board?
Kind of, yeah, but you don't wear it. But you just, it's like out on the sidewalk, and you take it in at night. Right. And it said something like, we do Sarah Crown, same day Sarah Crown, something like that. Like, the public driving by doesn't know what that
is. No idea.
I mean, you could if you really wanted to put same-day crowns, but I'm not so sure I'd be putting that out on the sidewalk.
Putting Sarah on there is meaningless.
To I know they've got some kind of marketing campaign, but nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Right. I mean, I think that, we'll get into that at a different time. But
getting back to the call, so she was purely asked a question that was out of her league. She didn't really know how to explain it. You could tell by her voice. She was like, it's porcelain. Yeah. She didn't really know.
She didn't know what the metal part was.
Metal substrate, no.
I love how she said each one takes an hour and a half, so you'll be here two hours.
2 hours, of course. Good math.
She's good at math, yeah.
And let me ask you something else. What's with the, isn't that like old philosophy that if they've got to be next to each other to do in one appointment because you don't want to be, I mean, God, if somebody came into your office with and they needed a crown of number 5 and number 28, you wouldn't do it at one appointment?
Well, I wasn't going to get clinical, but I was thinking the exact same thing.
What's that?
From the old days. If somebody needs two crowns and they want to be in there, do both crowns.
Both crowns.
It's easier for the patient. I don't buy that stuff when you can't eat, so they're numb for a few hours.
Bullshit.
Yeah. So you tell them not to eat for a few hours.
Yeah.
They're happier because you've done both crowns in the same appointment. Your efficiency rating and profit per hour goes way up. So that was, I totally
antiquated thinking. I can't believe people are still doing that.
I know, unbelievable. And then a patient No, they need two crowns. They pushed one for a new patient who wants an appointment.
Got the closer.
And how does she end the call? Closer.
She ended the call with click, thank you very much, something like that. So yeah, she did. She never asked your name, never asked for your phone number, never asked if you wanted to set up an appointment. Yes. Nothing. She cannot get back in touch with you. Zero chance.
And the best opportunity, I think, is right when the clinical questions started. Well, the best thing for you will be to come in and
meet
the doctor. He or she can answer any question you have. Can you stop by tomorrow at 2 p.m.?
A free complimentary exam. Yeah. Just get them in. Do something.
And even though she didn't do that, then at the very end, she still had the opportunity to say, we'd love to see you. Can you come in tomorrow at 2 or whatever?
I'll go back to my point. I do this on almost every call. Most doctors are in the back doing their work, doing their thing, probably doing great work, doing their thing, and they think that Madge up at the front desk, the clothes is doing. She's so great. She's so great on the phone. She gets all new patients in. Meanwhile, how many calls come in like this that Madge doesn't even ask to set up an appointment?
Well, if I pushed one, I would have gotten the person that wasn't as good.
I wonder who you would have gotten.
We got the best.
Wonder if you would have gotten like some assistant who's in the middle of like taking an impression. She would have picked up.
Maybe she would have picked up like in the treatment room while they're working on the patient. Right. Anyway, I hate to say it, but I think we both agree.
F.
She gets an F.
F.
No, so sorry to hear that. That will conclude
episode 14.
Season 2. Dental Practice Fixers Podcast. We will see you
next time.
Thanks so much, everyone.